so much, Prabhuji, for giving your valuable association in the conference call. We are reading today Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila 24 chapter 94 onwards. Prabhu, please take over the call.
Okay. Thank you, Mata. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Thank you, everyone. Please accept my humble obeisances, always to Srila Prabhupada. So, as Mother instructed me, we are serving Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, chapter 24, text 93. So last week, I believe, or week before, we discussed about some conclusive siddhanta on this chapter. The chapter is entitled as the 61 explanation of Atmarama verse. So we have to keep in mind that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after he nourished his heart with pure bhakti in the mood of Srimati Radharani, tasting Krishna's prema madhuri relationship and Venu Madhuri, Leela Madhuri, and Rupa Madhuri ultimately, the unparalleled beauty of Krishna. Whatever was left over is this Chaitanya Charitamrita, and that was distributed by Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, to Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, all the way to Srila Prabhupada, who beautifully spread this nectar of Mahaprabhu's remnants in the form of literature called Chaitanya Charitamrita. So it's not just reading, it is hearing and then reflecting. Then with the association of devotee, we can assimilate and we can relish and nourish our heart. When I say nourish, in a sense, like a patient, recently we went to the retreat of Bhakti Charu Maharaj's beautiful arrangement in D-Land, where this topic was expressed. And it was glorified that how Mahaprabhu actually purifying the each soul one by one through his recruited agent, through Srila Prabhupada's movement. So here is the same. When we hear or read a particular verse, we should glorify that verse, and we must see also how it relates with Krishna consciousness progressing and how it's also affecting me, each of us, everyday basis. Before I heard about this verse and after I heard this verse, how it is nourishing our heart. You know, when bad stuff goes away from the heart, you feel more illuminated and happy. So with this mood, we'll try to serve Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Daita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Daita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Daita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. So here the verse goes like this: Aja gala stana ne anna sadhan ataye bhari bhaje buddhiman jan. We can recite three times and whoever is listening, you can also recite if you have the book with you. Ajagalastanane anna sadhana atayev hari bhaje buddhiman jana ajagalastanane anna sadhana atayev hari bhaje buddhiman jana. Synonyms and translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Ajagalastanane, like the nipples on the neck of a goat. I remember in my hometown in a remote village in India, we saw many goats and they have this nipple. It's not some metaphor. It is a reality that there is a nipple underneath the neck. I remember that very well. If you're born in America, you have an experience with the farm, you can go and see. I don't know, in America I haven't seen a goat much. Actually, I did, but I never went so close. But I'm sure they do have. So this is a good example. It's a metaphor, but it's a very good example. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself establishing the intelligent choice we have to make every moment, every day in our life to remain unattached to the material world while we are involved in the material world and cut down all our doubts. These two purpose, Prabhupada says. So intelligence has to be there. Because the last word in this sloka, it says, Buddhiman Jan. Prabhupada writes, Buddhiman Jan, the intelligent person. And devotee, the Hare Krishna devotee, are the intelligent person. So, Ajagalastanane, like the nipple on the neck of a goat, anna, other, sadhana, execution of spiritual life. Atayev, therefore, Hari, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Bhaje, one worship. Buddhiman Jan, the intelligent person. Translation and purport. Translation. With the exception of devotional service, all the methods of self-realization are like nipples on the neck of a goat. An intelligent person adopts only devotional service, giving up all other process of self-realization. Purport. Without devotional service, other methods for self-realization and spiritual life are useless. Other methods cannot produce good results at any time, and therefore they are compared to the nipples on the neck of a goat. These nipples cannot produce milk. So the metaphor is applicable for nourishment. The baby or a human being also drink goat milk. I saw in America they sell goat milk in the shop. So they cannot, the point was that the udder that comes in between the two legs, the naturally milk produced for the children, a baby, a goat, and for human being also who takes. But there's another lump of meat below the neck. Looks like a nipple, but but it does not produce milk. That's the point Mahaprabhu is giving. Although it may appear that they can, an unintelligent person cannot understand that only devotional service can elevate one to the transcendental position. This verse itself is beautiful, complete. I'm going to read next two verses and then we'll come back with the explanation. 94, the famous verse everyone supposed to know. Chaturvidha bhajante mam jana sukriti narjuna
artho jigyasur artharti geni cha bharatarshava.
O best among the Bharatas, Arjuna, four kinds of pious men render devotional service unto me. The distressed, the desirer of wealth, the inquisitive, and he who is searching for knowledge of the Absolute. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. This is a quotation from Bhagavad Gita 7.16. The word Sukriti is very important in this verse. Su means auspicious. Kriti means meritorious or regulated. Unless one follows the regulative principles of religious life, human life is no different from animal life. Religious life means following the principles of varna and ashram. In the Vishnu Puran, it is said, varnashrama charavata purushena parapuman Vishnur aradhate pantha nannatat toshokaranam. According to religious life, society is divided into four social divisions. Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. The four spiritual divisions, Brahmacharya, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, and Sannyas. One needs to be trained to become a Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, or Shudra. Just as one is trained to become an engineer, doctor, or lawyer. Those who are properly trained can be considered human beings. If one is not trained socially and spiritually, that is, if one is uneducated and unregulated, his life is on the animal platform. Among animals, there is no question of spiritual advancement. Spiritual life can be attained by proper training, either by following the principles of varna and ashram, and or by being directly trained in the bhakti school by the methods of Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Pada, Sevanam, Archanam, Bandhanam, Daishyam, Sukham, Atma, Nivedanam. Without being trained, one cannot be Sukriti, auspicious. In this verse, Krishna says that people approach him when he is distressed, in need of money, or when actually inquisitive to understand the Supreme Being or the original source of everything. Some people approach him in the pursuit of knowledge of the Absolute Truth, and others approach him when they are distressed, like the devotee Gajendra. Others are inquisitive, like the great sage headed by Shanaka. Others need money, like Dhruva Maharaj. Sukhdev Goswami approached the Lord when he pursued knowledge. All these great personalities thus took to the devotional service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. Om Ajnanati Mirandhasa Yenanjana Salakaya Chakshurunnilitam Jena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namam Sri Chaitanya Manovistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamahayam Dadati Shapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Jutapada Kamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagra Jatam Sagana Raghunathanitam Tam Sajidam Sadaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sagana Lalita Sri Vishakarnitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामिनी नामिनी नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे वाञ्छाकल्पतरुवैश्च कृपा सिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। So let's look at this beautiful verses explanation. That in the beginning we see that this verse was explained by Sarva Bhattacharya, Atmaramuscha Munayo Nirganta Api Urukrame Kurbanti Ahetukim Bhakti Ittam Bhutta Guna Hari. And Prabhupada's translation is, all different varieties of Atmarama, those who take pleasure in Atma or Spirit Self, especially those established on the path of self-realization, though freed from all kinds of material bondage, desire to render unalloyed devotional service unto the personality of Godhead. This means that the Lord possesses transcendental qualities and therefore can attract everyone, including liberated soul. So in the beginning, when we see the Sarva Bhattacharya explains this verse into nine way, what we meant, he explained this in a impersonal concept, Nirvishesh-bad. It was not endowed with bhakti. So it is not the explanation of the verse, it is question of intention and attitude behind the explanation. It's important. So as every verse is in our purport. Because what is material, what is spiritual, everything belongs to God, Krishna. So what is material? Material is that when I have the attitude towards someone or something, not seeing the connection between God and that thing or that person, and I see that that thing or that person as a object of my senses separately from God, that is material. Now when I see through my attitude that person or that things, whatever it is, it's in connection with God, for God's pleasure, then that is spiritual. So it is not the explanation of this verse what made it the impersonal versus devotion, which Mahaprabhu explained in 18 ways. It is the inner realization, connection with the Lord in devotional mood. So with that explanation, that where the ittam bhakti explanation, these verses that today that we did, was Mahaprabhu was glorifying. And he glorified that the nine symptoms of Lord Krishna's prem. But then question is, who gets it, when he gets it, how he gets it. Then Mahaprabhu break down where the santarati, or santa bhakta, when he approaches, he has to have a two qualification. And with that qualification, he enter into the school of Bhakti Rasa. And there is a difference between Bhakti and Bhakti Rasa. Until Mahaprabhu came, all our acharya, since time immemorial, gave us bhakti, but not bhakti rasa. Bhakti rasa is the exclusive asset of Mahaprabhu. And you may wonder, I give that example many times, the difference is that Mother Yashoda, she is cooking to offer to Lord Narayan so that the whole family can honor the prasada. That attitude is bhakti. But when she is feeding Krishna through her best milk, she is maintaining these four qualities, lalan, palan, taran, bhatsan, as a mother. That is bhakti rasa. It is more than bhakti. That's why Prabhupada gave the name of our society, not devotion only. It is a Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness means it's bhakti rasa. The most secret, other Vaishnava Sampradaya, they practice bhakti. We respect that. But we have something never given by anyone except Chaitanya Mahaprabhu first time, that Krishna consciousness, bhakti rasa, very secret. It's a whole subject about it. And then Mahaprabhu explained about Saikaras, where they go, and what are the qualities, then Vatsularas, and then Madhurjaras, and then question comes, what about the conditioned soul? So that's where these verses come in. That's also including every living entity. So in the conversation, Sanatana Goswami Mahaprabhu, this Mahaprabhu explained that on 91, just one sloka before, buddhiman arthe judi bicharagya hoy, means you have to apply your intelligence when you do chant. When you chant, when you serve the Lord every day, you get up, you appreciate the Lord, then you do your morning duty, then you consciously aware that your life is for the pleasure of the Lord, and you're serving your family member as a devotee of the Lord. And then when you serve the holy name or serve the deity, cooking for the Lord, the intelligence should be applied in every activities of our life. Why I'm saying this, you may say, well, that's like a little hard to practice actually every day to apply intelligence. Well, you don't have a choice. If you don't apply the intelligence, mind will take over and contamination will start. Even while you are cooking for Krishna, that devotee was mean to me, while cooking that. See, these are the mind product. It's just you are cooking for Krishna today, fresh, has nothing to do what happened previous or this, that. But mind will. Therefore, intelligence is by force you have to bring it. Prabhupada did not say it is automatically. He said it's a forced meditation. Srila Prabhupada used that word, forced meditation. Means you have to force. And after some time, I don't know, according to each individual sadhaka, it will become normal. You will feel illumination, happiness all the time. But in the beginning, if we don't apply the intelligence, then it stays. It becomes habit. Mind will intervene and create unnecessary things. So it is not a choice. It is not an option. It is like for our benefit, we should apply this. So it says, buddhiman arthe judi bicharagya hoy nijo kama lagiyo tobe krishner bhajai. The meaning of the word, proper translate, udaradhi, is buddhiman, intelligent or considerate. Because of this, even for one's own sense gratification, one engage in the devotional service of Lord Krishna. Like the prasadam last few days in the retreat was so good. I just arrived from there, and because over there the internet connection, even my phone, I cannot get the reception for the class. So Maharaj gave me some prasadam, and we are tasting. Even now, this morning, we are tasting. Wow, Krishna is so merciful. What is the value of life if this kind of experience was not there? Even a little endeavor that whole world, everybody eats food anyway. But if they can appreciate the flavor, the taste would not exist without Krishna. It is Krishna's body produces this taste that reflects on the moon. Gama Vishwacha Bhutanam. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains this. Gama Vishwacha Bhutanam. That through that moon, it goes into the fruits, trees, water, everywhere in this planet. And we are tasting it anyway. But why not we appreciate the person who gave it? If we do it, then natural attachment. I'm talking about even myself. That natural, every time we take prasadam, it's automatically remind of Krishna. Because he's so kind and so merciful. What am I talking about? We're talking about the translation of this verse. Prabhupada says that because of this, the intelligent or considerate person, because of this, even for one's own sense gratification, which I have, you know, I enjoy prasadam, and I love tasty prasadam. I mean, all prasadam are tasty. Even for one's own sense gratification, Srila Prabhupada said, one engages in the devotional service of the Lord Krishna. What a sweet way to put it. So this is wonderful. Now we're going to the next one, that the other process cannot yield results unless they are associated with devotional service. And devotional service, however, is so strong and independent that it can give one all the desired result. And then today's translation is, with the exception of devotional service, all the methods of self-realization are like nipples on the neck of goat. An intelligent person adopts only devotional service, giving up all other processes of self-realization. And Prabhupada, so best among the Bharat, Arjuna, four kinds of pious men render devotional service unto me. The distressed, desirer of wealth, the inquisitive, and one who is searching for knowledge. Now, question is, how they are coming to relate to who we are, who am I, and how it helps us. Well, in the beginning of our life, I remember when I joined, that some attraction towards devotion with material intention was endowed. I remember even in my early age, I was 14 and a half when I joined. I had a desire when I was given a chance to take some responsibility. I was not looking for the devotional service glory that it would purify my heart, but I liked the position as a teenager. So I remember, but devotees were so kind, they tolerated me, and I keep on growing. I'm still practicing, that's why I appreciate that they are tolerant. But the point was that this philosophy is related to our practical day-to-day life with our conditional stage. For an example, here it says this verse that, let's see where it is here, 95, that materialistic devotees take to devotional service, like me, and worship Krishna when they are distressed or in need of money. Those who are actually inquisitive to understand the supreme source of everything and those who are in search of knowledge are called transcendentalists, for they desire liberation from all material contamination. Now, how Krishna is saying, or Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying, that these four types, due to their pious activities, they come to him. It's not like everybody comes to God. Those who goes against, they are also looking for success. But they don't want to approach God for benefits, success, own comfortable existence. So those who goes against that they can work hard and make it, they are called non-devotees. Those who come and take shelter or approach God, they are called pious. Pious in a sense, there is some inclination was there from previous good activities. Of course, one may say that the material piety will give any spiritual, devotional entrance? No. We are talking about bhakti unmukhi sukriti. Bhakti unmukhi sukriti means the sukriti, the piety that is in relation to bhakti. Just like I'm on the street corner, took some prasadam from the Hare Krishna people. That's it. That is beginning of bhakti. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Krishna bhakti janma mula. Mula means root. Root, origin, connection of Krishna bhakti. Krishna bhakti janma mula. What is it? Hoy sadhu sangha. Sadhu sangha means not just seeing only sadhu or come in contact with sadhu. Am I following the sadhu? So if sadhu, devotee gives me little prasadam, we do every day distributing prasadam all over the world, then if the people take that prasadam, even in the form of rice, dal, whatever the prasadam offered to the Lord, a bhoga offered to the Lord transformed into prasadam, if that person eats, means he has taken the sadhu's mercy. And then he, in his heart, there is a bhakti unmukhi sukriti. So from that angle, bhaktistu bhagavat bhakta sangena parijayate satsanga prapte pumbit sukriti purva sanchite. It is not accidental. And now you may say, even then, how one comes in contact with even sadhu? Well, some life, each soul cried for some help from God. They do not know who God is, but they did. I wish I could get help. If there's God, I could get help. Somewhere, even in hell, or in heaven, or earthly planet, or some planet, they asked. And they are being guided from within to come in contact. Prabhupada said, when devotee walks on the road, the Krishna within the heart of the devotee say, encouraging, give them mercy. And the Lord within the heart of those conditioned souls, here is the devotee, take shelter, take mercy. So Krishna constantly, he never stops helping each soul to come back home. So that's why this is explained here, that those four pious person who comes to Krishna consciousness, they are most fortunate. Why? Because they get two results. What are the results? Positive and negative. Negative is they give up material desire. And positive is they get pure bhakti and they enter to spiritual domain. And this is very nice because one is elevated to the platform of devotional life by the mercy of either Vaishnava or Krishna. On that platform, one gives up material desire. Because when you hear this discussion, you may say, I like my desire. I don't want to give up. I'm not ready to give up everything. I still like, enjoy this world. Means you are saying you haven't really heard the harikatha of a sadhu. You haven't got a tangible acceptance Why? Because if you hear and hear Prabhupada, different devotees' realization, then you will eventually come to this point that I don't want it. I don't want material. I want to purify everything in relation to Krishna. Material and spiritual, again, I'm going to refresh. Material means when you see a thing or person with the attitude not related to Krishna or separate interest from Krishna. But so you create your own material or spiritual vision. It is not the object dictates you what the object is. It is we perceive by the mercy of Guru Krishna how it is spiritual. And those who don't have that perception, they see it's material because it's not connected. They don't see God there. Just like one Maharaj telling me a story that he went to visit his grandfather that they raised him. And his grandfather, he became a devotee and he started chanting. And he was very sincerely chanting. And one day from the temple to his house, there's a jungle road in the village. So while he was going, he saw a huge cobra. And the road is not like a wide, it's like a 1 foot road. You don't have a way to escape. That's the only road. And when the cobra is in the middle, how do you go? So he did not see the cobra. I mean, he looked at cobra, but he says, oh Krishna, if you have come in the form of relinquishing this material body now, let me be sincere. Please bless me so I can really chant. And he sat down there because he cannot pass the cobra. Both sides is like a heavy, thick jungle. And the cobra is not moving. If you don't know cobra, you have to go to see. Cobra is stubborn, because I faced in my life few times. I got snake bitten also when I was 11 and a half. Anyway, so the point was that he sat down and he was praying to Krishna and he was intense because he knew he was going to die. So he started, closed his eye and chanting for a long time. All of a sudden, after a couple hours, he didn't calculate. He heard the sound of his grandchildren. They're looking for him. Said, what happened? It's 2 o'clock. You're supposed to be back by 12. And you are sitting there in the middle of the road, jungle. And he opened his eye. He was surprised. The cobra is not there. So he told them, oh, there was a cobra. Stop my way. I was chanting. So the children, obviously, they're looking around with the stick. They want to kill the cobra to help the grandfather. So then they actually, the villager of course came, you know, 10, 12, 20 people. They found actually that cobra is dead. About 40, 50 feet far. It's the same cobra, just died. They don't know how. There's no blood or anything. So they immediately contacted an astrologer. Why he was faced cobra, and these people are very much, and there was a famous astrologer. The astrologer told him that you're supposed to be dead today. How is that you saved your life? Say, I don't know. It's the holy name. So then he asked, what about the snake? Why snake died? The snake got, the astrologer is a famous astrologer in South, and he's also a devotee. And he's a grand disciple of Srila Prabhupada. And he said, well, he died due to Namavas. Because he heard the holy name. When you hear the holy name, you give up the body for the animal. For a devotee, don't give up the body. They separate the subtle body, a spiritual body, from like a coconut. It separate from the shell, outer shell. So you still live in this body, but you are actually Mukta Purush, liberated soul. So something like that. It's interesting. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu very nicely explained this verse. That these four types of people come, then out of that, of course, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, is more dear. So when we face problem beyond our power to solve, we often seek God's help. And I'm sure you all do. I also do. Many times, often. This Bhagavad Gita indicates that most people approach Krishna to get something. I remember myself too. Whether it is money or relief from distress and the wealth seeker are two of the four kinds of prospective devotees. And Prabhupada says here, the other two being the curious and the knowledgeable. So among them, Bhagavad Gita is stating that the best are the knowledgeable. Specifically, those whose knowledge inspires them towards one-pointed devotion. That's why. Why knowledge inspired? Because then we can go towards one-pointed devotion. But Krishna says that this is the best. Why? Because they approach Krishna not for what he provides, but for who he is. This is the key point. They approach those Gani, Jigyasu, and Artho and Artharthi. The first two, the Artho and Artharthi, means distress and the desire for money. These two are considered Sakam Bhakta. And Jigyasu and Gani are considered Mokshakami Bhakta. But Tesam Gani Nitya Jukta, among them the Ganis are better. Why? Because when the Gani approach Krishna, they see Krishna not for what he provides, but for who he is. That's why Bhagavad Gita explained that he is the topmost reality, the all-attractive, all-loving, supreme person. The ultimate fulfillment is found in lovingly connecting with him and living in his sweet presence. Because the devotion of the knowledgeable does not depend on getting something, it stays sublimely steady forever. You can say, in contrast, when we approach Krishna to get something, if we get it, we thank him and move on with our life, turning to him again only in future time of need. You understand the concept? And if we don't get that thing, we give up our devotional practice, considering it unfruitful. Why may we not get what we seek? We ask this question within us. I prayed to Krishna, but I didn't get it. Does Krishna not care for our needs? Of course, he does. He's our greatest well-wisher. Prabhupada found this on 529. But he provides as per his plan, which often varies from ours. Our plan often center on our material gratification, whereas his plan centers on our spiritual evolution. So I'll end with this. That is why if we turn to him simply for getting something, we may end up disappointed. Still, if we study the Gita, we can understand that Krishna's presence is far more enriching than his presence. Therefore, whether we get worldly things or not, we wholeheartedly connect with Krishna just to bathe in his soothing, strengthening, sanctifying presence. Because with this last word, I always meditate on the Krishna's merciful glance that he sees our future and plan our presence. But we don't see. I, Prem Govinda Das, don't see my future. So I plan my future. I don't see my future, so I plan my present future by seeing the present. So it will be completely sometimes opposite. But Krishna sees the future and he plans our present. It's much more soothing, guaranteed path to our spiritual progress. So we should remember that we should turn to him simply for getting something we may end up of disappointing. But if we understand that Krishna's presence is far more enriching than his presence, we'll be eternally happy. Gaur Premanande Hari Hari. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Dhana Pranam of glories to Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. So nice class, as usual, Prabhu. And I have some of questions. Prabhuji, you were telling in the class, Bhakti Rasa and Bhakti. Also, you try to mention how conditioned soul that. You were telling that Krishna conscious, devotional practice or something, yes, you were telling. But how we realize, how we can even do conditioned soul get that Bhakti Rasa, some glimpse.
In a shorter version, when we come to Krishna consciousness, we can thoroughly see why Srila Prabhupada made the process such a way that we approach devotee association. When we approach devotee association, we practice, then they encourage us to go further, get initiated. Initiation is the beginning of eternity. At the same time, it is a beginning of relationship. In bhakti tradition, relationship is not so much emphasized except master and servant. Yes, that is true. And surrender is the focal point. But that is also required to get bhakti rasa. But something more means that first initiation, under guidance of your guru, you start hearing and you will start seeing things more than before through this inner eye ointment the guru gives through initiation. And if someone says, wow, to be honestly, I don't see the difference, well, then you're not appreciating the mercy of guru. Our connection with the guru's mercy is by the grateful attitude. I emphasize this many times, that we are missing the connection, that's why we don't see it. If we appreciate the importance of sadhu and guru and their service to please them, then we'll see that connection. Then we'll see that same hearing of Harikatha will enrich and nourish our heart. Then further, when we progress, then we feel like to be closer to Krishna. Then second initiation is required. Second initiation gives a inner connection where you can dress the deity, you can enter into the altar, you can literally be more personal. You offer the bhoga. With first initiation, you're hearing, and second initiation, you're still hearing, but you're adding more. Then the relationship starts relationship starts, and at one point you will see within that I cannot live without hearing Krishna. I don't want to be without Krishna. I want to hear. And when you hear Krishna, it makes you more happy than before you start hearing. When you see these symptoms within you, you are actually entering into the relation domain. It is very tangible, but it is difficult for somebody who hasn't got that point yet. And then you come to a point that your relations, your devotional service built a bridge between your eternal relationship and your conditional stage. Because Krishna conception is not only constitutional. I just want you to remember that. It is not only constitutional, it is also cognitional. Cognitional in a sense that you are actually aware, and then you really go for that. And you will start perceiving that inner nourishment, feeling. Like when that Mataji expressed to Prabhupada that it must be cold at night, Krishna feeling, so I should put a sweater. Prabhupada said, that is very nice. And that is bhakti rasa. When you have the feeling for the Lord, it is not artificial. Somebody comes and you actually become part of that Braja Vasi mood under guidance of your guru, and you approach this. This bhakti rasa tradition was never introduced before Mahaprabhu came. It was only, this is just a shorter way to practically we see. Even when one Maharaj, I think Adi Keshav Maharaj, he says that the deity in New York, their outfit is growing as if they, no, I mean, they are growing out of outfit. Means they need a new outfit because Krishna is eating a lot of prasadam. Prabhupada was very happy. Prabhupada said, this is a good symptom. This is what Krishna consciousness is. And at the end, I'm going to say somebody may say, oh, did Prabhupada just came up with this? No. Because he was asked by a sannyasi named Akshayananda Swami. It's recorded. He asked Prabhupada, how did you come up with the idea of Krishna consciousness? Why not God consciousness? Or Prabhupada says, I came up with this idea. This discussion took place in Bombay. From Srila Rupa Goswami Pad's verse, and Prabhupada quoted the verse, Bhakti Rasa Paribhavito. Bhakti Rasa. So he did not say, he said Krishna consciousness is Bhakti Rasa. That's why he put this, he meditated on it and put that name, International Society for Krishna Consciousness. It is not just Bhakti, it is more than Bhakti, Bhakti Rasa, which is extremely rare. And then you can fill up all those verses. Anarpita charim chirat. Anarpita charim chirat. Long time it was never given. What? What was it? Bhakti rasa was never given. I hope it gives you some idea.
Yes, Prabhuji, it's a nice answer. Also, in this connection, I have one doubt, Prabhu. You were telling, when we have a desire to serve Lord personally, we have to take second initiation and then slowly we'll get the develop that relationship. In my case, I was just thinking, I have a desire to serve Lord in a home duties we have, but it's not, we give so much of focus in home duties, we are hurry sometime, we, according to our own schedule, we go through, but in temple duties, I have a desire to serve. I mean, so we can do particular way. In that case, we need to have a second initiation. And my Guru Maharaj was giving class. One devotee was asking. He was telling, Means Guru Maharaj, I want to take a second initiation, and Guru Maharaj was telling, no need to be hurry for second initiation. You just, we try to develop love of God. Means try to love Krishna. And I was okay, because I was thinking, okay, maybe we need to develop that love. And also Prabhuji, and for the second initiation, when we should have that, when I have a desire, but when we will be ready, when Guru will give some, means Guru will, you will be ready now, you can take second initiation, or how we can understand that. Yeah, and also, I don't know, and also I got a dream from Guru Maharaj, since 2 years, 2-3 years, 2 years back, when you take second initiation, I was... And then also Guru Maharaj says, I was thinking, I never talk with anybody. And Guru Maharaj says, dream is like, sometimes we get different dream. But if it is helpful for your devotional service, take seriously. But if it is not helpful, sometimes we get different kind of dreams. And that means dream. But I was, I'm not sure, Prabhu, means when Guru will tell, because we don't have that much of connection with Guru, means personal connection. Should we ask to Guru Maharaj, or he will tell us, or how we approach, Prabhu?
Oh, very good. You have a very thoughtful process of approaching. That is very nice. We can see from Prabhupada's example also, when devotee says that he had a dream of a nice sankirtan with Prabhupada, Prabhupada was very happy. And he says, yes, it's possible. It is true. And then another occasion, I'm jumping to another occasion where one devotee says, Prabhupada, you came to my dream last night. Prabhupada said, oh yeah? Said, yes, you told me to take LSD. Prabhupada said, that was not me, that was Maya in my form. So, as you said, if the dream actually helps us to progress in bhakti, yes, we should grab it. Because dream is produced by the subtle body, and subtle body has a domain from heaven to hell, bigger. Physical body is only where you are located, and mostly this earthly planet. But subtle body produced dream has a vast range from far, from heaven all the way down to hell. So, but then when the subtle body is purifying through our engagement in under guidance, then the portion of the subtle body start purifying, like your heart is getting cleaned up. And so spiritual knowledge, realization starts storing, and that time that the dream can be mix of the dirt and the good part, or bhakti part together. Sometimes could be just the negative part of the heart and the positive part of the heart. If it is all devotional, it could be pure devotional. I mean, the body did have beautiful dream of Krishna, and they went so serious. Even Prabhupada had many dream of his Guru Maharaj. You know that how his Guru Maharaj came and came in a time when he was already overwhelmed, because Prabhupada is a Mahabhagavat, but he is acting as a sadhaka, so we can learn. Otherwise, if Prabhupada does not act as a sadhaka, how will we learn? So Prabhupada, already business falling down and all this thing, fallen position of material overwhelming, at the same time his Guru Maharaj coming, oh boy, take sannyas. I was very, Prabhupada himself said, you can hear in the database, I was horrified. The word he used, horrified. And I was looking in the dictionary, what is horrified? It's like a really tormented, like extremely fearful. So Prabhupada expressed that. He was horrified. Not one time, few times he said this. I was horrified when this situation took place. So there's a good dream and bad dream, yes. But if you saw the dream, your Guru Maharaj came to ask you to take second initiation, maybe it's a time. And if you feel to also dress the deities, offer the deities, then it's also good. That is also good. By any means that you can build that bridge. Second initiation is like a building a bridge between yours. As I mentioned, if you remember, our connection with Krishna, remember this, in two ways. Constitutionally, we're spiritual. Well, sounds good. We are eternal servants. But where am I now? Oh, it says our connection is constitutional, also cognitional. Cognitional means I am aware and my participation, I can progress by hearing more. It will evoke our this building bridge or relationship more tangible. These are cognitional. The constitutional is good. It is true. It is eternal. Mahaprabhu says, Jivara Swarupa Nitya Krishna Das. But it is also cognitional. So we focus constitutional, but more focus on cognitional now. Am I aware? Am I conscious? Am I conscious that I am conscious of Krishna? Am I? I ask this question to myself. Am I conscious that I am conscious of Krishna? Prabhupada says this. So I have to be like this. Prabhupada also said you have to be conscious first before you become Krishna conscious. That's what it meant very sweetly. That Krishna's connection is cognitional. Means second initiation, boosting my closeness with Him. I want to be in love with Him. Even though I don't have the experience that how loving Krishna is, loving everything, is complete. Never will look for it. Jam labdha chaparam lavam. Mannate na adhikatam tata. I'll never look for anything else. I don't know what it is. I want to experience this. Okay, some greed is coming. Pursue it. Appeal to Guru Maharaj. I mean, you appeal how many times? You ask yourself. Ramanuj Acharya appealed to Gosta on the 17 times, on 18 times he gave him initiation. So, I'm not trying to discourage or encourage, but I'm trying to give the cognitional point that if you feel it approaching, he may say no again. Keep going. Ramanuj Acharya, pure devotee, he approaches Guru Maharaj 17 times and every time he was rejected. On 18 times he got it. If that helps you?
Yes, sir. Yes, Prabhu, definitely. Prabhuji, also I have a question regarding the past. I mean, the verse when you were reading, and we can even put sense gratification used for Krishna, and especially I'm in condition stage, every time we are in the more aware in sense gratification, mostly, even though the prasadam sense we offer, but so many things, even when we're traveling, we try to please family member, that so many cases is there is only I can see the sense gratification. And then so many things in our life is how we can convert that sense of gratification. Prasadam is very way, easy way, but even sometimes we want to taste what we like. In every form I can see the sense gratification in conditioned stages of life, but how we can Krishna consciousness?
Well, when Jayanta Prabhu was introduced to Prabhupada in Paris, some devotee says, Prabhupada, he's a playboy. And Prabhupada said, what does that mean? You like to play? He said, no, he's a playboy. He likes girls. Prabhupada said, oh, that's very nice. You should tell the girls that I'll introduce you the most handsome boy. His name is Krishna. And you have to explain them the quality of that boy, and you see they will be happy forever. So, of course, Jayanta Prabhu was new, and he thought maybe this Indian Swami is making a joke. But next day when he met, he personally told me this. Next day, he's a sannyasi now. Anyway, next day when he met Prabhupada on the morning walk, Prabhupada remembers everything. He said, "So, did you tell all your girlfriends?" And he looked at Prabhupada's face. He's serious. So he said, Prabhupada said, "Otherwise, you are cheaters, but Krishna will not be a cheater. So you should tell them." So then they had some conversation. At the end of the conversation, he says, Prabhupada asked him to join. He says, "I'm not so much into this austerity or dedicating." Prabhupada said, "What do you like?" He said, "Oh, I love women and flower." He said, "Very good. If you can find the source of your liking in women and flower, you will become Krishna conscious. So whatever attraction we have, I mean, there's so many pastimes that Prabhupada practically taught us, that so many things that we like in this world, can we see the source of it? Find a sloka in Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita almost has everything. I don't see anything that exists, don't have a connection in Bhagavad Gita. And if you can find that, and while you are even attraction to that enjoyment, you appreciate Krishna's gift, you will see that activity itself, it uplifts your consciousness to a point where that sense enjoyment becomes insignificant. In my own life, I see. It's reality. Krishna consciousness is reality. For our ultimate benefit, we should thrive into it. But consciously. So any attachment, whether it's a prasadam, I mean, I'm being honest to you, I was taking prasadam with one sannyasi, Bhakti Prem Swami, every day. And so we would just, tease each other, but we would take prasadam. And Maharaj says, "I was noticing you like this sabji, so you're leaving tomorrow. You better take this." And he forced, to pack. And I was really relishing today. And I heat it up. And I was thinking, like, my God, this prasadam is so good, Krishna. And I feel like emotional to Krishna. Like, he's so kind that our tongue satisfaction, he appears there just to give us satisfaction. That you approaching me, look who I am. I'm the embodiment of condensed form of bliss. So even sense gratification, what sense gratification? Krishna consciousness is the highest form of sense gratification. What the Brajavasi is doing? Rasabdim, Krishna's name is Rasabdim, Akhila Rasamrita Sindhu, Si Vigraha Murti. The Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the nectar of devotion, starts with one verse, first verse. That is the embodiment of complete condensed form of bliss. We are looking for that taste. Those who are not coming to Krishna, they are foolish, they are suffering. That's our approach, that if we really care for them, we should just introduce Krishna consciousness to anybody, whether they know it or don't know it. Because once they know the secret, they all will become devotees. It's a fact. For their own benefit. Because we can, through Krishna consciousness, we can enjoy and live our life for eternity is better than any other form, whether it's heaven or any other. So from that angle, I would suggest, like, anybody has any desire, try to find its source, as Prabhupada says, and focus on that source and how Krishna in that source, as he revealed in Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavatam, that he is that form that I'm attracting. Even though apparently it is blockage to proceed towards devotional. That's why we say that if you cannot offer your heart to Krishna, offer what your heart holds. If you start offering those things, well, those things are dirty. Don't worry. Just give it. Give it. Give it. Everything that you have, if I, whatever I have in my heart, if I start offering it, one day the Krishna will take the whole heart. And that's it. It's a very sweet way we can approach Krishna. So we should not feel any guilt or, guilt is good if it is between you and wrongdoing. Guilt is not good if it is between you and Krishna, because if you, it is between you and Krishna, you may get depressed and go away. Guilt, everything can be engaged. Everything. Because the other day I spoke about guilt to this college student here. All different emotions they were talking. But all in Krishna consciousness are nourished. Because ultimately in spiritual world, the guilt is, guilt serves you as a component of rasa. They are called sanchari bhav. Like Nanda Maharaj, feel guilty. Why didn't I die? I'm lower than King Dasarath. In Dasarath, when Ram left, he died immediately. I'm so bad, I'm not even dying. I'm so bad, he's like, but Uddhava was counseling. No, you are higher. Because when Ram came back, he didn't find his son, his father. But when Krishna come back, he will see you are here. It will give him such a joy. So your position is higher. But they feel also, all these emotions have their ultimate purpose. It nourishes. But in this world, emotion hurts us without Krishna. But in Krishna, this emotion actually is like a, you want to feel guilty with Krishna in a spiritual realm, not here. Then you feel so close to. Anyway, I'm sorry, I went off with the guilt.
Yes, thank you so much, Prabhu. Yeah. Sometimes we unnecessarily get, but it's a very nice answer. I hope you later class you will explain a lot. It's a very nice Prabhu actually. And also,
thank you, Mata.
There is any question or comment other devotee may have, because I am asking questions.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Oh. Is there someone else who has a question? Otherwise, I have a question.
Mother, you go ahead. Hare Krishna.
Okay, there's two things. One is just now you made a distinction between having guilt between wrongdoing, you know, between ourselves and wrongdoing, and having guilt between ourselves and Krishna. So what is this guilt between ourselves and Krishna that you say is not good?
Are you talking about guilt?
Yeah, just now in your question, in your answer to Mataji. Uh-huh.
Guilt, I'm going to give you an example. And we can, let's see. Example we can use, like in my childhood life, I noticed that we used to have a dog. But we don't have a dog like in America we have dog. Our dog, I remember, used to be always outside, never came inside the house. And the purpose of the dog was there. He would get food, he would get affection from us. Even I remember I used to play with the dog outside, but when he would come home, we had to take a shower and clean up. But the dog was so chaste, and the dog would protect the house. The purpose of the dog barking is to warn the owner that somebody is trying to approach, or something is not right, or something I don't feel comfortable. Can you pay attention? So if you think dogs barking is like a guilt feeling, and I was putting that analogy, then if the dog barking between the wrong person approaching, and the owner, then is good. In other words, if I have a bad intention, and I'm feeling guilty, and the guilt came between me and the wrongdoing, then it is good. It's healthy. It's protecting me, actually. No, don't do it. San Govinda, don't do it. It is not good. So then that guilt feeling actually will protect me. It's kind of a, like Bhakti Charu Maharaj was telling me yesterday, telling us, we were a group, everybody is taking off. He says, Prabhupada, close the door of my looking for any other interest by giving me sannyas. So sannyas is like a, that's it, door is closed, no more exploring of sense enjoyment. Your door is closed, now you focus on serving. So he was appreciating Prabhupada's gift. So something like that guilt feeling, if it is like protect us from doing wrong, then it is healthy. So guilt can be used for Krishna consciousness. And it is there, whether we aware or not. You know, at the core of our existence, we are conscious beings. Conscious being means we have a feeling. We have a thinking, feeling, willing. We have a feeling. It is not something we wished away. It is who we are made of. So guilt also natural. But my point is, if the guilt comes between me and Krishna, is, oh gosh, I didn't chant, I don't feel like to go to temple, I'm not doing things. You know what, I just don't care, I don't want to do it. Then it is bad.
Okay.
Is that
explaining? Yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah. And what one other thing is, you also made a distinction much earlier in your answer to Manji that there's a distinction between bhakti and bhakti rasa. What is that distinction?
If you in Chaitanya Charitamrita, there is a verse called Krishna Bhakti Rasa Bhavita Mati. You can read also the purport and the translation of that, but I will give a little synopsis that bhakti means is a natural natural way of approaching Krishna, but it has a required some elements like surrender, like developing some virtue, quality to surrender. Of course, you have to first come. Yeah. Today's verse gives that four types of people has a piety, a spiritual piety, and due to the piety, they approach Krishna or they come to Krishna. When they approach Krishna, then they approach Krishna, but they have some ulterior motive. So, and Prabhupada divided them into two groups. One is coming for distress, relief from the distress, and need money or whatever, need material things, and they are looking for some help. So they are approaching Krishna, they have a motive. And the other group is, they are looking for liberation. They are tired of this material existence. And so if you look at the direction of the emotion from a practical reality, let's step back and look at our own emotion. Our emotion, when directed, we'll see, okay, we want to go to temple for what? I like Sunday feast. Why do you like Sunday feast? I like Sunday feast. Oh, all my friends are there. Okay. Or, actually, prasadam is good too. Actually, I just, you know, want to feel that I'm going to God. Or I feel good when I go to Sunday feast. So actually, we didn't say anything about pleasing Krishna. We're just talking about my feeling good with the friends, we hang around and talk, And oh, that friend bringing his cousin, we haven't met them long time. So many reasons. Oh, nice prasadam. It's nice hangout. It's a good feeling too. When I go see the deity, I feel good. Okay, it's nothing wrong. It's just a process of devo bhakti. Is that these are some contamination is there. Then finally, when you associate for a long time, then you learn about surrendering. And then you have a six aspect of surrender. And finally, when you practice on that surrender process, then you are united with God. You enter into domain where God is the majestic aspect. God, you feel awe and reverence. You feel protected. You feel secure. You feel your life is good. Everything is good. All this description is nothing but result of bhakti. Whether it's a bad intention or good intention, ultimately, God connection brings you close to God and you feel liberated. You will be liberated and you will live with Him eternally. This transformation from conditional to pure devotional is bhakti. And how it is related to Vrindavan versus Bhakti Rasa? In Vrindavan also, Nanda Maharaj goes to every day, pay obeisances to Narayan. He has a deity room. I'm sure you are aware of it. He has a deity room. Even Krishna goes there, but Krishna is sometimes not such a good child because he broke the yogurt pot and he made the deity room completely mess that day. So he make a mess, the deity room sometimes. Sometimes he goes on the birthday to pay obeisances to God. Of course, Nanda Baba and Mother Yashoda, not knowing the origin of Narayan, is Krishna. But Krishna choose to act as a child, so they have a devotion to God. And even for the gopis, when Krishna took the form of Narayan, and the gopis has a material desire, apparently. It is transcendental, but apparently they had a material desire. They saw the Narayan, they paid obeisances. And can you imagine, you see God and you come and you say, oh, I'm looking for a handsome boy. As a girl, I won. So gopis say, oh, Narayan, you are so powerful God, we bow down to you. Have you seen Nanda Maharaj's son? We are searching for him. We can't live without him. Hey, you go to God to get something. This is, sounds like a sense enjoyment. You are content. But it is transcendental because Krishna is origin of God. Even though this is a devotional, but when they feel the nourishment, they meet Krishna by the mercy of God, and they enjoy with Krishna, that concept is bhakti rasa. So Yashoda Maiya is cooking to offer to Narayan. That is bhakti. But breastfeeding Krishna, and Krishna is drinking milk from her breast, and Mother Yashoda is massaging his fatty thigh, that is bhakti rasa. Can you see the subtle differences between these two?
Actually, I'm having a little bit of trouble to make the distinction.
Okay. Let me make it to like a one sentence. When you feel you are dedicated to the Lord and you want to be with the Lord, but you are not built a relation in a family relation. Just like you have I don't know if you have a son or a children. If you have a child, the feeling that you have for the child, if the child was Krishna, that is bhakti rasa.
Okay, and if it's just bhakti, then what?
Bhakti is that you bow down, you opulence in a sense, when reverence is most prominent, which is also eternal, natural. But bhakti rasa is very lucrative, tangible concept of God, which was never given. I mean, you know, if you think anywhere in the world that you pray to God, you go to God, you want to be with God, it's good. This is bhakti. But to steal butter with God, it is not respected as a...
I see. Okay, so in the examples that you were giving before with the gopis and Mother Yashoda, like with the gopis, that was bhakti because they were worshiping Krishna more as God, right? Whereas
Krishna appeared as a Narayan form.
Yeah.
On the bank of a Govardhan mountain, then they paid obeisances. They paid obeisances and they come, they approach him to give the association of Nanda Maharaj's son.
Okay, so that was bhakti rasa.
It is ultimately bhakti rasa, but that kind of approach is actually bhakti.
Right. Yeah, so that's what I was saying. If you're approaching Krishna as more like God,
yes,
then that seems like it's bhakti. But if you're approaching him more with a sense of relationship to him, then that's bhakti rasa.
Family.
Yeah. Yeah, family or friend, right?
Yeah.
Then that's bhakti rasa. I mean, if in a particular relationship, then that's bhakti rasa.
Yeah.
Otherwise, if you're approaching him more with the sense that he is God, then it's bhakti.
Yes.
Okay. That's good.
Both are good.
Sure. And, you know, one other thing that I heard today, not from you, but, you know, in another lecture, it's related. There's the concept that there's, you know, bhakti is always pure. It's always pure. But we might perform bhakti, like as you were saying before, in a this mixed devotion, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So as practitioners, if we are performing mixed devotional service, or maybe you can say mixed bhakti, then how we can also say that bhakti is always pure?
Very thoughtful question. I appreciate that. I have a question to you. Is moon always full or not full?
It's always full.
But then why we say crescent?
It's our perspective.
So similar way you look at it. Bhakti is always pure. Same thing with holy name. Holy name is always pure. There is no such thing called nama aparad, nama bhas. But it is our condition making those stages. Holy name is pure. Bhakti is always pure. 100%.
Okay, let me use a concrete example. Like, as you were saying before, sometimes we go to temple because, you know, we want the prasadam or we want to hang out with our friends.
Yeah.
So if that is our mixed motive there, then where is the purity there?
A spoonful of sugar make the medicine go down. The bhakti came with the prasadam, the devotion, feeling that when the devotee offered on behalf of Prabhupada, helping Prabhupada to offer it, then Krishna is taking because of Prabhupada's devotion. So pure dose of medicine is there. But it's coming with the quoting of I like to hang around or whatever. Mm-hmm. But those things actually dissolve, but the pure bhakti remains. So it eventually it gives us a distasteful for unwanted things. Naturally. Mm-hmm. So in that sense it is all good. We should encourage any reason they come to see the Lord or chant, it's always welcome.
Okay, so our selfish motive is like a coating over the pure thing.
Yes.
Okay. All right, Prabhu, thank you so very much for all your answers.
You are welcome. Thank you so much. Jai Prabhupada Ki Jai.
Jai.
Jai Krishna Prabhu. One last question. So Prabhuji, when you were talking about that cobra story and the person who chanted the Mahamantra and the cobra died later, so my question, when you were talking about the that because of Namabhas, the cobra left the body. So did it imply that by Namabhas, the cobra was liberated or...
liberated means his poisonous condition life is dissolved. Now he'll get a human birth to do bhakti.
Okay, got it. Okay, that's what I wanted to ask. Thank you, Prabhuji.
Thank you. So we end now?
Hare Krishna, is there a comment for Prabhuji? Thank you so much for a very, very inspiring talk for us. Let's pay our obeisances. Thank you, Prabhuji, for your
Jai.